The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Between Labor and Capital. Workers and bosses are not the only classes under capitalism. There are the chronically destitute, people who live in abject poverty who cannot find steady work, or any work at all, some of whom turn to petty crime to survive. In addition, between labor and capital, there is a middle class that consists of professionals, managers, and small business people, sometimes referred to as the petty bourgeoisie. The upper end of this layer shares more in common in its lifestyle and outlook with the capitalist class. The lower end, in terms of salary and working conditions, has more in common with the working class. As a whole, the middle class vacillates between the two main classes. Strictly speaking, the middle class is not a class in the sense that it is used in reference to workers and bosses. Its conditions are too heterogeneous. Loosely speaking, it is all those who are either small-scale exploiters, control the labor of others, or rely on their professional skills and education to draw a large salary. As a small business person, a shopkeeper identifies with the capitalists. As someone who labors long hours to make ends meet, the shop owner has more in common with wage workers. If the class outlook of the working class is collectivist, the class outlook of the middle class is individualist. Its whole class position reinforces not collective interest and collective action, but advancement through individual pluck and ability. This isn't only true of small business people, whose material conditions tend to reinforce the idea of individual merit. But it is especially true of the intelligentsia, academics and professionals such as lawyers and doctors. Their whole educational and life experience reinforces individualism. This individualist ideology is encouraged also among certain types of white-collar workers, teachers and civil servants, for example, to convince them that they are professionals rather than workers. But these workers find that they must do all the same things that other workers do. Organize, strike, fight back, in order to protect their job conditions and living standards. And so their own experience tends to contradict the myth of their professionalism and individualism. It is this very sense of individualism that ties the middle classes to capitalism. "The writer does not have to get up when the alarm sounds," wrote Trotsky. Quote, "Behind the doctor's back stands no supervisor. The lawyer's pockets are not searched when he leaves the court. But in return, he is compelled to sell not his mere labor power, not just the tension of his muscles, but his entire personality as a human being. And not through fear, but through conscientiousness. As a result, these people don't want to see and cannot see that their professional frock coat is nothing but a prisoner's uniform of better cut than ordinary." End quote. Hence, when well-educated academics muse about how workers are too well off to want real change, they are oblivious to the fact that this is a more apt description of their own class position. The working class, though bombarded with propaganda about the sacredness of the individual, has a different class experience. A worker, contrasts Trotsky, comes to socialism as a part of a whole, along with his class, from which he has no prospect of escaping. He is even pleased with the feeling of his moral unity with the mass, which makes him more confident and stronger. End quote. Middle-class radicalism, whatever particular form it takes, tends toward a rejection of class conflict, replacing it with a sense of commitment to improving humanity in general on the basis of moral imperatives, which often translates into moral preaching. The middle-class German true socialists, quote, contemporaries of Marx, in rejecting French-style class struggle, felt consciousness of having overcome French one-sidedness. Their defanged brand of socialism, commented Marx and Engels, represented not true requirements, but the requirements of truth, not the interests of the proletariat, but the interests of human nature, of man in general, who belongs to no class, has no reality, who exists only in the misty realm of philosophical fantasy. The petty bourgeoisie is an in-between class, a class shading off into the bourgeoisie or the proletariat, writes Hal Draper, citing Engels. One in which the interests of the two classes are simultaneously mutually blunted. In consequence, the petty bourgeoisie imagines himself elevated above class antagonism generally. The middle class is incapable of offering its own solution to the problems of capitalism. In the battle for socialism, it can only play an auxiliary role. It can be drawn into struggle in times of deep-seated crisis. At times, anger or despair draws sections of the middle class to the right, as in Germany in the 1930s, or in Europe today, where sections of the middle class are drawn to the far right. It can also be drawn to the left, as in Argentina, where sections of the middle class joined workers and the unemployed to bring down the government in 2001. But it is also more volatile and quicker to abandon the fight. While the working class and sections of the middle class can together bring down a government, only working class leadership in the movement can lead to the struggle of a new society. End of section.